And it came to pass, when David and his men returned, they found that the Amalekites had invaded Ziklag and burned it with fire. And they took the women captives and carried them away. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they could weep no more. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, for the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God.
Right up on the ocean shore. This is it. I'm so hungry. I'm so hungry. That ain't so good. Came right up on the shore. Here's some more. Holy mugger is good. Must have been from one tourist boat. For seal, everything. Anyway, how come you never talk to me? We've been here for 2 weeks. 2 weeks! I need some encouragement. I need somebody to give me some kind of advice. Anything! Ellen! Ellen! You never said nothing. I'm tired living here. I'm not ever going to be rescued. And nobody going to see me. I'm going to die. I might as well just kill myself already. You care? No, you don't care. You know what? I'm gonna drown myself. What do you think about that? Hey! Hey! Talk to me! Nobody ever talks to me. I'm gonna kill myself. I'm gonna drown myself. You don't care. My bow! I will drown myself! Goodbye, cruel world! This is it! I don't like it no more! I'm finished!
You can play the game and you can act out the part, though you know it wasn't written. Tell me, how can you stand there with your broken heart, ashamed of playing a fool?
Shower the people you love with love. Show them the way that you feel.
Things are gonna work out fine if you only will. Do as I say.
You ever feel that way? I mean, like you're marooned on an island, there's no one there to encourage you. You feel all alone. Or maybe even closer to home. Let's say you're sick and you're in the hospital and there's no one there to visit you. The doldrums hit and no one calls, no one writes, visits, you're still alone. You know, we'll all go through seasons like that. But before you start to throw in the towel, or you find yourself talking to a volleyball, or you wander off into the ocean, before you do that, let's see if these seasons actually have a purpose. Maybe they do. Designed by God to turn curse into a blessing, from being lost into being found. You know, in Genesis chapter 20, one of the promises is that God will turn what was meant for evil to what was meant for good. If we'll allow God in and not be so quick to run from Him. Because just maybe, God knows that before we need to be rescued, we may need to be refined. And then emerge from that season better rather than bitter, drawn closer rather than drifting further apart. In fact, did you know that God's main goal in these times, here it is to just simply bring you nearer to Himself and not allow you to drift further away. God knows that even if we try to clamor for some inspiration to get us going for a little while, outside of His Spirit's encouragement, anything that we will do will be man-made and short-lived. And the side effects could be worse than the original problem. You know, the book of James reminds us, every good deed and every perfect gift comes from the Father of light. So, we have to understand that He will be the source of eternal encouragement. And He is the one that can actually turn something bad into something great. He will be the source. So the first step in paving the way for encouragement to flood you is, here it is to immediately renew your heart to God. Whenever you're in an isolation season, that's the goal, because that's God's primary goal, to bring you closer to Himself. So if that's His primary goal, make it yours as well. The first thing that you do is to get back to God, because He alone will provide everything that you'll need. Whatever we need to restore that relationship as primary with God, do it. Make it your first step. Let everything, and I mean everything you need to, let drop away. Whatever is caught between you and Him, remove it. Because you can't go any further until that's done. You can fight, you can argue, but until His primary purpose is accomplished, you don't move forward. You see, our primary goal when we're stuck is usually, here it is, rescue. We say to God, just remove the consequences. Or, God, would you just get my old job back? Or, give me the money back that I lost in the stock market. We just want it all good again. You know, I like to listen to country music, and one person who just can't stand country western asked me, he said, Wayne, why do you listen to that stuff? I said, because it gives me hope. He said, what? I told him this, do you know what you get when you play country music backwards? He said, what? I said, you get your horse back, you get your pickup back, you get your job back, you get your girlfriend back. You see, I said, it gives me hope, because everything comes back. Sometimes all we want to get back is what we lost. But God really wants something more. He wants to correct something that has been going astray. Could be your faith, your mind, your heart. And God may use a season of isolation, sort of His waiting room. Because you see, sometimes isolation can be God's antidote to personal destruction. Yeah. In other words, before we go any further down the road thinking that some veneer faith is good enough, a paper-thin marriage is okay, or us tolerating a heart that's just about ready to cave into temptation, it's good enough. Here's what God does. He gives us a mandated timeout. Yep. And the reason? So we will draw near to Him again. For example, It was in 2 Chronicles chapter 32 that we find these words said of King Hezekiah. Let's read it. It says this, God left him alone to test him that he might know all that was in his heart. See, God may be wanting to fix hearts that we have been tolerating. Wrong hearts, broken hearts, hearts going astray. And when in reality, what we don't know is those kinds of hearts are just about to take us under. So he gives us a mandated timeout. But you say, but does that warrant us losing a job over? Does that warrant seeing our money go out the window in an economic downturn? You have to remember, the scripture says it this way. What profits a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? That's right. What's most important to God is us living authentic lives. And always remember this, nothing touches your life wherein it has not already gone across God's desk and he said, okay. Because he knows that if you will respond rightly, you'll be better because of it. And he promises to use it for your good. That's his promise. Now, we can get angry at our circumstances. We can blame God. We can whirl ourselves into a tizzy of questions by asking, why me? But could you always remember this? You can't always choose the cards that will be dealt to you, but you can choose how you will play them. You see, life is going to be made up of 10% what happens to you and 90% what you do with what happens to you. That's where life rises or falls, where character is forged or where it flags. Seasons of isolation can be some of the greatest defining moments of our futures, if we'll just look at it that way. I mean, think about it this way. When were the times you grew the most? When were the times you were closest to God? Was it on the mountaintop or in the valleys? Was it when you were busy or when you were quiet? When everyone was clamoring for your attention or when you were left all alone? Here's something that I think will help you when you're alone to give you hope. Remember this, whatever you're going through, here it is. There will be someone in the Bible that has already gone through it before. Those valleys, those low times, someone has already gone through it. And they've experienced it. And here it is, they have left clues behind so that wisdom can be on its way. These men and women have been handpicked by God, placed in the Bible. And those clues they left behind is for you. So that you and me, like them, can successfully come through those times. It could be a Moses when he was in the desert. Do you remember that? Or an Abraham losing his son Isaac. Or a Rahab who was a prostitute and seemed like she was pushed aside. Or a Ruth, unwanted as a widow. Or, like our story, a David who had nowhere to turn. So he went into the desert and found encouragement within. By the way, want to hear an important side lesson for encouraging yourself? Here it is. Learn to be your own best friend. I know that sounds strange, but listen for a second. The story that we've been dealing with tells us that David and his men wept until they could weep no more. You ever cried that much? I have. David's soldiers wanted to stone him. So the story tells us that when there was no one to encourage him, he went and encouraged himself. Now we'll have to do the same thing as well. You say, how do you do that? You ever talk to yourself? Yep, I know some people that talk to themselves a little too much. But David did. He talked to himself. It says in Psalms 42, why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? And then he continues to counsel his own soul. hope in God, for I shall yet again praise him. See, he actually counseled his own emotions. He refuted his own tendency to give up. Think about it. Don't you love to be around people who encourage you and build you up? Those who are always cheerleading you onward, building your courage and believing the best out of you? See, that's exactly what God says we need to do for ourselves. Be your own best friend. Because if you can't, you'll have a terrible time when things go south. You see, no one wants to be around someone all day that's a critic or a skeptic or someone who berates you and lets you know what a failure you are all the time. But if you're not careful, our own minds can take on that role. We've got to change that. You can. Let your mind be something that gives to you good perspectives of your future. Hope cheerleads your best. One of my favorite verses in that way comes from Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, and whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, here it is, dwell on these things and the God of peace will be with you. The King James says it this way, meditate on these things, or think long and hard on them. Let these fill your minds. See, stop letting what could go wrong fill your minds, or why people don't like you, or why you should call it quits. Don't let those things fill your minds. Let what is honorable and right and pure, because when you do, the God of peace will be with you. It's pretty cool. It's almost to say that when you're thinking rightly, even God wants to hang around with you. And if not, he'll wait. We all need to be the best friends we can to ourselves. We've got enough critics. It's a story of a little boy with a bat, and he wanted to encourage himself. So he threw the ball up, and as he threw the ball up, he said, I'm the best batter in the world. And he'd swing as hard as he could, and he'd miss the ball, and he'd fall down. Picked up the ball again. He was completely unfazed, threw it up again, and he said, I said I'm the best batter in the world. And he took a huge swing, missed it a second time. He shook himself off, and he threw it up again as he said, I'm the best batter in the world. And he threw it up and took another swing, missed it a third time. He dusted himself off, and then he said, what a pitcher. We've got to be our best friends. So, when the bottom falls out, don't give up. First step, renew your heart to God. Press in close. Don't run away. Don't fill your mind with what if or why not. Regardless of what the circumstances looks like, stop and press into God. That's your first step. By the way, that's God's primary goal. Make it yours as well. Well, the story continues. David turned to Abiathar, the priest, and said, bring me the ephod, the Bible says. So Abiathar brought it. And then David said, shall I pursue the band? Shall I overtake them? And he said to David, pursue, for you will surely overtake them, and you'll surely rescue all. See, in other words, David turned to the priest in the next verse, and he said this, bring me the prayer robe. I must press into God to see what he is saying to me. God's got my attention, and he wouldn't do that unless he had for me a very important message, a very important lesson for me to learn, and I must listen. Then God told him what to do, and David followed through, and his family was saved. See, here's the second step. Reflect on what God is teaching you at times like that. Now, some people ask me, how many major mistakes, Wayne, have you made in your life? My answer is about one a week since birth. That's right. But the real question is not how many mistakes have you made? No. But really, what have you done with the mistakes that you've made? What have you learned from them? Have they made you any the wiser? Well, this is what I do. I take the mistake, and instead of beating myself over the head with it, I squeeze every bit of wisdom I can out of it. And then I take that lesson, and I tuck it into my heart. Then I throw the carcass of the old mistake over my shoulder, and I never give it another thought. Now, I reflect not on the mistake, but I reflect on the lesson I learned from that mistake, how it's changed me, how it's made me different. Listen carefully. Don't you dare make a mistake and then you are not better because of it. No, learn wisdom from it. You know, many of us know that there have been situations that we've gotten ourselves into that has cost us dearly. Maybe because of our mistake or somebody else's, but it's cost us dearly and the price was high. It may have cost some people their family or some people their marriage, their savings, their careers. But let me tell you one thing that's worse than paying a high price for something. It's paying a high price for it and then not getting anything out of it. It's like paying a sky-high tuition for a class and then you don't get anything out of the class. So finally, press in as much as you can. Surrender to His will. No, I didn't say to the circumstances, but to God. Surrender. No, not the white flag of remorse, but saying to God, what must be changed, Lord, in my life? During this time, you've got my attention and I'm all alone. What must I do? I'm not going to depend on people. I can only depend on you because everything else has been stripped away. You know what the third step is? The third step in encouraging yourself after you've gone through all of this, here it is. Now respond. Respond. What are you going to do? In other words, make the changes and make them permanent. Otherwise, when things get better, you forget the lesson that you learned and you lost your tuition. Basically, you lost the experience. So think, reflect, what is God teaching you? How will you be different today because of what you learned yesterday? For some people, it might be a lesson to stop rehearsing your hurts. For others, it might be control your mind because you've been allowing it to become your worst enemy. Others, God might say, this is how I want you to follow through. I want you to write a letter of apology. Regardless of whether those people respond positively or negatively or whether they respond at all, it's something that you must do for your own soul. You're following through, you're responding, and your life is getting better, not just in your mind, but in reality. To another person, God might say, start putting out resumes, move forward. But to all of us, this is what God would say, take my promises and run with them. Don't live your life looking through the rear view mirror. It's time to start using the windshield. Look at your future. Promises that God will give you to help you to look in the right direction, such as, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Or maybe to a single mom who's lost her marriage. From Isaiah 54, God would say to you this promise, your husband is now your maker, whose name is the Lord of hosts. Or to others, my life verse out of Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans not for your calamity, but for your welfare, in order that you might have a future and a hope. And to all of us, God would say, it's a new day. Step into it. Think better than you have been thinking before. And God would be saying, I'm not done with you yet, so don't you be either. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be more than enough. Wait on the Lord and He will renew your strength. And in the meantime, there's going to be a transformation taking place. So don't think that you're going to kick so quickly out of the cocoon. God says that He will be there to guide you into a new season where you will be a brand new person. Use His words to encourage you. That's what it's there for. His promises will always be guaranteed. So when you're feeling isolated and maroon, remember, first, renew your heart to God. Then, reflect on what God is teaching you. And don't you dare miss the lesson. And when He restores you again, please don't ever forget what you were taught. God got your attention. There's a message He wanted to deliver to you. Take it. Don't throw it all away. Because if you don't change, it'll only be a matter of time that you'll end up in the same boat over again. But you will be a far greater person if you don't forget the lesson or the commitments you've made when you were all alone. Keep them. Remember, a life of faith is based on obedient action, and a life of fear is based on the avoidance of action. Take action. In these waiting seasons, God's going to be revealing what has caused the breakdowns in the first place. So reflect on those lessons, make a deep commitment to change, then here it is, follow through. It's a heart changed, maybe changed thinking, new attitudes developed, and old ones thrown away, no longer to be a part of your life. Sort of a divine surgery that's taken place. And that may be exactly what God wanted to have happen in the first place. And this situation you're in, it may have been the only way to get you to a place where you would reassess your life, listen, and change. But let those moments be some of the greatest moments in your life, where you came away far better. Not always fun when you are in the midst of them, but if you stay close to Him during that process, one day you'll be able to look back and say, "Thank you, Lord, for even the tough times when no one came to the hospital, when no one came to help to pray, because you weaned me off of the expectations I had placed on others. And you made me stand on my own with your strength. You were enough for me. And I'm happy to lean on you in the future. You and you alone." So learn to encourage yourself. If you're going to grow in Christ, encourage yourself. God will be delighted to do His work in you, and you will be in His waiting room, and you'll be hearing His voice. The doctor is in, and when he's done, he will always show you the road back. Follow it. Follow it as a new person, though, and you'll be closer to Him and much wiser about life.
You can out the part, though you know it wasn't written for you. Tell me how.
That's Aaron and Micah.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
What are you doing?
One thing can be.
When I was marrying my wife, but she was skinny and pretty, and I don't like saying this, but now she's fat and ugly.
What if all of our decisions were made when we were depressed, discouraged, exasperated, ready to bail out, lonely, and then you make life's most important decisions in that frame of mind? We'll see you there.
That's right, Pastor. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Well, my prayer is that we understand that if we are to grow up in Him, we've got to humble ourselves. And the best way to do that is through hidden service and giving credit away. And believe me, there's no greater joy than watching God do His part after we have done ours.
You can run, but you can't.
Let me out! Let me out of here! Oh no!
Anyone that knows the risks of skydiving also know
that anything that's important will require certain checkpoints that must be in place without a doubt.
Be injured or killed.
Check yourself to be sure that you're walking in the faith. Okay, we're ready.
All right, let's do it.
All right, let's go. Everything is ready. Here we go. Hey!
I don't like to live alone. I don't know what me. What do you have gone?
Check yourself to see if you're in the faith. When you are, you'll fly right.
I think I lost. How am I gonna get home? Somebody help me. Help me. God, help me, God. Oh, God, you gotta hear my prayer. I tell you what, you help me make it out of this place. I'm not gonna be mean to my old lady no more. I'm not gonna cuss or swear. No, and I'm not gonna look back as far no more afterwards. No, I'm gonna be a good boy. Help me out. Help me out. Just answer my prayer. Dear God, if you help me out of this place, I promise I'm gonna be one better. That's right. One better. If you just answer my prayer. I think I'm home. God, you know nothing. I just prayed. Forget it. I just found my own way. I home. I stay home. Yeah, I find my own way home. I tell you. I'm so happy. Bring it along.